Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome from Chicago here. In this podcast, we have the pleasure of talking to Mr. Matt Katzer. He is the CEO and owner of Camden IT, a top cloud services provider out in the West Coast in the Oregon area. And Matt's been on our show a few times in the past. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yeah, Matt, for those people who may not know you, could you please kind of introduce yourself again and maybe talk about Cam and what you guys do specifically?
Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, Camden IT, we're a Microsoft direct managed partner. We're one of the 235 partners in the U.S. that have that that has a designation. And also, we're one of the 52 partners in the U.S. that actually provide the high-end Defense Department data subscriptions on the GCC High U.S. data centers. And because the United States, roughly, we have between 30 and 40,000 partners available to sell different subscription services. Our main focus in our business is really cybersecurity, and we secure both commercial and the government entities that are using the GCC High license and the Office 365 licenses.
Okay, excellent, cool. Now let's get on to the topic of our show, which is about the CMMC. Now, this has been really kind of a confusing topic, I'm sure, for everybody who's in the defense industrial base. First, we had D10, that kind of got, you know, poo-pooed on, and now they're going to start the CMMC 2.0. At first, they were saying that it's going to be 3 or 4 years out, but now, from what I'm hearing, it's going to start this March. So what's the schedule like, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, you have to go back in history to understand what's really the basis of everything. CMMC 1.0 and CMMC 2.0 are all based on the NIST 800-171 standard. So that's actually the basis of everything that you actually have that in terms of what needs to be done in the market and everything else. So what happens is that when you start looking at the CMMC standard, and you have to go back in history, and this gets back in some of the rulings that the Fed has actually made. And back in the DFARS ruling, where they actually set the requirements back. And the requirements for NIST 800-171 was really under one of the interim rulings 7012 in coverage of defense information and cyber incident reporting. So this is way back in, you know, 2019, 2018, when you have these requirements we're putting in place. And I think it even goes back further if you actually look at the history before people start internalizing it. So what's really going on today is you have, like any bureaucratic organizations, you have different entities are making choices and positioning and everything else. But DoD has been very consistent. They're saying that their target date for implementation, and they haven't moved the stake, has been November 1st of 2025. And what's happening now in terms of this making this real, what Ravi, you were saying about this date coming in this year, and they're making an interim ruling that's technically, we understand, is going to come out in March. There's going to be a 60-day period, so that means come May. Basically, they're putting the stake in the ground that you're going to have to start implementing CMMC, you know, level one and level two for defense contracts that you're going to get in the November 1st, 2025 timeframe. And there's a layout, there's a schedule for deployment. That's pretty much hasn't changed. And that's what's going on. And so they're basically putting the teeth behind the DFARS, 252, 204, 7012 clause, and basically putting timelines associated with it, which we've known that was going to happen for years.
Be familiar with it. What are the key steps to achieving CMMC Level 2 certification?
Yeah, so first of all, when you look at CMMC, CMMC stands for, that's a Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification Specification. So it's kind of like a DoD specification that is in place. And so when you look at CMMC, there's really two components. There's the level one component and the level two component. And both of those components are actually part of the NIST 800-171. So when you talk about implementing CMC level two, you have to implement CMC level one. And level one is basically 17 controls out of the NIST 800-171. And then what level two is the additional 83 controls out of NIST 800-171. So when you take both level one and level two together, you have the 110 controls that was originally put in place way back, you know, 5-6 years ago that the defense contractors have to meet.
Okay, excellent. Now, what you alluded to just a few minutes ago at the NIST 800-171, and that kind of forms as the backbone for the CMMC, both L1 and L2. Can you give more detail about this NIST document?
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the change that you actually had is the NIST is the National Institute of Standard Organization from the federal government. So they define what the, you know, different types of policies, what the federal government has to do for security, what the federal government has to do for password protection. There's a NIST requirement for 800-80, which defines certain characteristics you need the password. There's another one, 53, which talks about what third-party server providers need to actually provide in terms of their infrastructure and the definition of what people call for FedRAMP. And NIST 800-171 is basically designed for contractors supplying services to the federal government. And that's what it's all about. Now, the interesting thing, and this gets into the whole model when you start looking at the steps of CMC level two certification, it's, and you talk about NIST, it really is talking about looking at the organization from a standpoint of how do I actually build cybersecurity into the basis of how I do business. And that means how I treat my employees, how I treat my vendors, how I treat my clients, and how I protect their information. And what the NIST 800-171 standard is like anything else. It's a standard that basically tells you what you need to do. What's interesting about the NIST 800-171 and specifically about CMC level one, level two, is there now is a accreditation organization known as the CMCAB accreditation board that is basically responsible and their contract by the Department of Defense to basically have certification assessors and create assessment organizations to make sure things are being done the way they're supposed to. So you have to go through a certification process. And what's different between this one and we look at in terms of like the ISO standard, some of the other, you know, some other standards in the market is that this is actually federally backed. So when you actually are an assessor and going through the process of basically evaluating someone on NIST 800-171, aka CMC level one or level two, what happens is that the assessor is bound by a set of, you know, rules. Those are the Whistleblowing Act. Those are the Negligence Act. Those are the Christian Doctrine, which basically means that if you have to, how you actually implement controls and contracts that you have to, they're enforced. And people can, if you're not as an organization, if you're not implementing something, you say you did implement it, like, you know, what is the term, fake it until you make it. Those days are kind of gone because what happens is you could have someone blow the whistle on that someone's doing something not complying the standard, and they're subject to sanctioned fines and fees. And some of those could be criminal and when you actually serve time. And so you look at standards that are being put in place on cybersecurity, and this is a rather serious standard that's being pushed out that people need to internalize what's going on. And the basis of all this is the NIST 800-171 standard. That's where it's based from.
Okay. Now, you talked just a few minutes ago about an assessor. Is that the same thing as the C3PAO, I believe?
Yeah, so it's not the same thing. It's what happens away through the process is when you talk about trying to get, like, an assessment, you have entities known as a certified CNC professionals that basically go through a certification program through like Edwards Learning System. There's a couple others. There's learning providers that are licensed to provide the curriculum, and they basically take an assessment exam. They become an assessor. And there's different grades of assessors. You have junior assessors and you have lead assessors. And junior assessors are ones that have no experience and are basically limited of what they can do. And the lead assessors are typically people that have experience, that have gone through the necessary security clearance, can do the necessary things. So when you look at that from an organization standpoint, what a C3PO is actually a certified third-party assessment organization, and they actually have a group of assessors that gone through the CMC assessment program and have their certification, and they have actually done assessments under the guise of DIBCAC, which is the body that basically governs all the governmental body that basically audits and does the assessment for the community. Or contractors.
Do you have any plans for your company, Canon, to become a C3PO?
At this point in time, it's not on our roadmap. It's not something that we're doing. And part of this is that when you actually look at what the requirements are in order to be a C3PO, and you look at the code of ethics required to be an assessor, and what you can do and not do. Camon IT, we operate as a cybersecurity managed services provider, and for both DoD and for the commercial space and the government space. We also offer and resell Microsoft licenses for both AOSG, that's the GCC High and the Azure Gov, as well as commercial. And the act of doing that, and if we actually needed to, let's say that we want to become a C3PAO, we would have to actually create a separate business because we would be in conflict with our code of ethics. So the way the ecosystem works in CMMC, you're either going to have assessor organizations like a C3PO, or you're going to have implementation organizations such as CAM and IT, and monitoring and management organizations such as ourselves. That's what you actually see in the market, and that's what you see is happening.
Okay, excellent. Now, just one more question here, talking about this. You had just mentioned the FedRAMP, but what exactly is that? Is that the same thing as the CMMC, but at a much higher level?
Well, it's a little bit different. What FedRAMP is FedRAMP is a program where there's basically the government has requirements like under 853 in terms of how services to be performed, how cloud services are going to be maintained, how they're going to be managed, and all sorts of other types of regulations associated with the management protection of data. There's also requirements for the cloud services to be, FIPS 140 certified. And not just compliant, but they have to be certified. And FedRAMP is a program where you basically go through all these certifications, you go through all these process and analysis, and the federal government will award you a FedRAMP certification. And that award gives you the authorization to offer your services as a FedRAMP supplier in the FedRAMP marketplace. And CMC is different because it's not really, you're not offering a cloud services per se. CMC is more of a cybersecurity management than anything else, which happens to be for the level 2 or level 3, you have to run on a FedRAMP high service.
Okay. Now, what are some of the shortcomings that CMMC 2 overcomes with the CMMC, the first version? From what I've read, from what I've understood, I know that there are complaints that the CMMC process overall is just too expensive. It's an administrative nightmare. How has the CMMC 2 overcome these objections?
So what the federal government did, and they actually were pretty smart on this one. It's hard to actually say smart and federal government in the same words, but I think this case they actually did listen to the community and then figure out what the best way to actually handle it. They basically said that when they look at CMMC, there's really three. In the original CMC 1.0, there's five levels. And the five levels basically took you from basic, intermediate, to good, proactive, and advanced. And then when they actually look at the Model 2, they actually only has three levels. There's really is level 1 is a foundational level, And level two is the advanced, when you have to go through third-party assessment. And level three is the expert level, and that's the one that you go through government-led assessments through like DIPCAC. So when they actually came out with the change, and the big change for this is that under CMC 1.0, you had to go through a certification process for all the different levels. And that would mean that you hire a C3PO, you have to go through a pre-assessment, and it's just spendy and it costs a lot of money. When they actually came out with 2.0, they made it so that you could, at level one, you could attest that you basically went to the 15 practices and you basically are, the foundational requirements are in place. Whereas level two, you have to go through the a certification by a third party. And that's really one of the main difference. So for, if you look, and this is all based around CUI, which is confidential unclassified information, because you'll have many businesses, you know, machine shops or, you know, in terms of different types of service organizations that won't have any CUI information of this information that has to be really controlled and monitored. They'll just have like federal contract information, which is not really critical to national security. I mean, it's still important, don't get me wrong. You can't make it public, things like that, and there's controls on it. But you can actually go through a self-assessment, which means that the CEO of the organization basically assess that there's a level of cybersecurity put in place defined by the, you know, the 17 practices under the CMC level one.
Okay, excellent. Now, what is an enclave and how does that work with the CMC level two certification?
Well, yeah, this is, enclaves are an interesting concept. And we came up with a concept in our how we deploy and how we started deploying this a few years ago with CMC, even with the old specification of CMC 1.0. Basically, when you think about a company, and I'm going to simplify it, you know, so you'll have, let's say, you think about your business, and your company will have like two parts in the business. You'll have the front office and one part that do the administration, the finance work, and everything else. And in the back office, you may have a few people that do this super secret stuff for under a federal contract. So when you look at an organization, you have these two pieces. What an enclave is, you look at the business and say, as a business, I need to take my entire business and make it all CMC level one compliant. Means that I'm going to attest to that I follow the standards, I have policy and procedures in place, and I'm following all the practices, the foundational for the entire organization, which includes that front office folks and includes also those people in the back in that other room. But you're talking about the organization as a whole. And that's really when you talk about, and when you talk about the practices in level one, just to, you know, just to kind of add some context to it. I mean, you're talking like, let's use MFA. Let's make sure we don't have spam protection on our email. Let's make sure we actually log visitors coming into the building on a clipboard. I mean, we're talking about those are foundational practices. And, you know, and it's like and the best way to look at it. Do you have locks on your doors at home? Well, you should have locks on your doors at work. That's foundational type thing. And then when you talk about an enclave, you know, so we have the organization as a whole, level one. Now we go back to that little group that's in the back room that's doing that super secret stuff or doing this based on the government contract. That's the stuff that basically has CUI in it, and that is an enclave. So you want to control information into that room. In the old days, you would actually say, okay, have a separate room with a locked door on it. No difference than an enclave. An enclave would be building that room in terms of GCC High, putting all the necessary controls in it, where the company may be in Office 365 Commercial, and the special room where they're doing that stuff is in that restricted area in GCC High, and there's an enclave in GCC High where that work is, and that's what we call it.
Okay, excellent. Now, how does one get started with this process?
Well, I mean, the start is very simple. I mean, with CMI, CMMC. I mean, you look at an organization, someone says, hey, I'm going to be CMC, I need to be level two. You got to start at the basics. like I said, you're going to have to make the entire organizational level one compliant. That's just the way it is. Because when you actually look at if you need to go to level two, and level two means you're going to have data flows that shows you where you're going to have, where the controlled unclassified information, the CUI, is located. You're going to have know where those pieces are, and you're going to have to do that. You're going to basically have to start somewhere, and where you start with getting a making the organization level one and build the policy and processes over it, figure out where the CUI in the organization is, look at those pieces and make a decision. Do you do an enclave or you take the whole organization to level two? I mean, and how you start it and how we recommend people start it. And we offer a DIY kit for CMC level one. And the whole purpose of the DIY kit is get you into the policy and procedures, get you into the necessary processes that you actually need to actually go to build your businesses to be level two compliant. And that's the secret. You start with level one, build the policies, get the base in place, go through a pretest if you're unsure that you have all the pieces on it. And then once you complete a pretest, you basically go through a full certification process for level two.
Yeah, excellent. Now, Matt, one final question here. You mentioned the GCC Hive. Could you explain that to our audience, what that really is all about?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And when you think of going back to CMC specification, the CMC specification have things in there that there, if you have CUI, there has to be U.S. citizens that have to have access to it. And there's controls that need to put in place so that controlled unclassified information. So when you look at Microsoft in terms of the data center, Microsoft data centers, they really have two types. They have the commercial 365, you know, that's the one that you would basically sign up through resellers such as us, or there's others, there's, you know, 30,000 U.S., and that basically you would actually have a 365 subscription. And those would be managed by global support staff, which would be in China, which would be in Europe, Australia, don't really know, but they're non-U.S. citizens. When you talk about GCC High, you're talking about Azure government. In this specific case for the U.S., it has to be continental U.S. So you have continental U.S. data centers, and you have continental, you have basically continental U.S. support people, and the support people in those data centers are U.S. citizens, and the support people in the GCC High, in terms of the, if you submit a support service request and everything else, are basically U.S. citizens that basically are authorized to work in that environment, which is different than the commercial side, because if I have a support request on the commercial side, anyone from global Microsoft can address the issue, but that's not the case with the restricted data centers for GCC High.
Okay, excellent. Now, Matt, as we wrap up our show here today, what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you to get like some advice on the CMMC?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is that we publish a number in this. We're going to publish this podcast in our YouTube channel. We have information there. It's really just go to our website at www.kamind.com. That's kamind.com. And then go reach out to our contact page. And then basically go request. You can set up a meeting. There's more information on it. We have also information on our website about how to basically build an enclave. And as I said, even on the GCC High licenses, we're one of the 52 partners in the U.S. that can sell the, can offer the GCC High and the Azure government licenses.
Well,
that's really
okay.
The best way to get in touch with us.
Okay, Matt, well, we thank you for your time this afternoon, and we hope to get you in the future.
Well, thanks a lot for the opportunity, Robbie, to talk to you about this. And yeah, I mean, the CMMC specification put in place really has a lot more impact than just the Department of Defense. And I think you're going to see more and more insurance companies requiring this foundational level security implementation. You're going to see a lot of changes in the coming year because everybody's concerned about how to protect information. But you got to start somewhere. And CMC is a great way to start.
Okay. Maybe we can have that topic for a future podcast, huh?
Sounds good.
All right. Take care. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Ravi. It was great talking with you.
Bye.